Even if you're not spending as much time in the car, don't miss a minute of Waddle and Sylvie at Home. Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Is Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000.
Let me give you the lowdown on a very busy Monday, back to work Monday. Beautiful in the city, first place baseball teams. Waddle and I have been calling it Baseball City USA. Coined that in 2008.
Wow, boy, we old.
Yeah, well, it's the last time the Cubs and Sox were truly like big threats like this. Last year, they were both good. It was a shortened season, but like in 2008, it's truly remarkable. We got the news just about 20 minutes ago. The Sox tweeted, Eloy Jimenez has been medically cleared to resume baseball activities at the White Sox complex in Arizona. This phase of the rehab process is estimated to take a minimum of 4 weeks, after which Eloy could be cleared for a rehab assignment with the Sox affiliate. What do those go? 7 or 10 days when he's missed that long? You know, and sure enough, the date that I guessed, I wasn't looking at the Sox schedule, is an off day. So I'll go February 23rd or whatever.
Okay,
I'm going in the did I say February? June 20 something.
You said February. Let's go with February 23rd.
June 20 something is where I'm going to go.
Okay.
So Sox tonight, 6:30 with the pregame show. Bleck and Abdallah on at 6. Connor's got your pregame at 6:30. It's a fantastic pitching matchup tonight. Tampa's in town.
Yeah.
Get your tickets at WhiteSox.com.
Tampa with the best record in the American League. The White Sox with the second best record in the American League.
Yes. We've talked a lot about Cup Snakes, the atmosphere at Wrigley Field, the Cubs sweeping the Cardinals, doing really well against teams with winning records, especially at Wrigley Field this year. If you want to talk about any baseball, Cubs, Sox, what you're seeing this year, Cup Snakes, 332-3776 is our phone number. But I did see the Sun-Times had the story. I think it was Jason Leisure who had the story that Allen Robinson will report to minicamp tomorrow. It's a mandatory minicamp.
Yeah.
And I was telling Waddle, like, this didn't surprise me at all. I was expecting it because Allen Robinson has signed the tender. This isn't like a lot of times there will be a guy who is designated with a franchise tag, and then he has, what, like all summer to sign it? And a lot of times they won't sign it. He has already agreed that he is going to sign, that he's going to play on the franchise tag. So this is a mandatory thing. I don't think he wants to be fined, and I expect him to start gaining some chemistry with Dalton and Fields.
I think there's probably an excitement that he will be involved in an offense that could look markedly different. And a guy under center could be the best quarterback he's ever played with. You could argue that Andy Dalton could be that guy.
Yeah.
But
ask
hopefully
AJ Green.
Right. You could then project that Justin Fields will be that guy. Look, if everything plays out well, and by that I mean Allen continues to play at an exceptionally high level and stays healthy, and that's a big if in the National Football League. Look, he missed a season before with an ACL injury, but there's a chance that at the end of the 2021 season, if in fact he can't come to a long-term agreement with the, I don't think they can negotiate after a certain time, right? But he may go into the 2022 season when the market is better for receivers. Remember, the salary cap will jump. There will be more money to spend.
A lot more, yeah.
Like this past year for free agent wide receivers, I think the market condensed some, didn't it? So from a pure football, you know, financial climate, next year will be better than this past year was in terms of guys looking for big deals.
Look, Allen Robinson, from what I understand, was surprised at the free agent market. And didn't Juju Smith-Schuster's his contract, did he end up only signing a one-year deal
or
something?
So.
Or he took less
from
Pittsburgh?
He took less to go back to Pittsburgh as opposed to go to another team.
And so if you look at it from Allen Robinson's standpoint, he wanted a long-term deal, but it didn't. The money wasn't out there for a lot of wide receivers this offseason. So if you play at the high number that is the franchise tag for 1 year, and you look at it that it's an investment now that you could really pop. Like, of course, you've had big numbers with Mitch Trubisky, but now Andy Dalton or Justin Fields could be your quarterback, where now you could take even the next step.
What are the rules with regard to him being able to, under the franchise tag, actually being able to negotiate with the Bears on a contract extension? at some point.
I think this offseason he can. I don't know when that window shuts. I could text Weeder or JD at the break or Dalla.
Who's
you can
guy,
do
Brad?
That now. What's that? Yeah. Brad Spielberger from Pro Football Focus.
Like, I mean, look, they don't have a ton of cap space.
They have no cap space
at this point. So that would also keep them from being able to do something. But there will come a point in time where I think he will get paid. And hopefully it will be the Chicago Bears signing him to a lucrative long-term deal.
And it seems like he's fine now, you know, because of the, you know, he wants a long-term deal. But again, the market wasn't big. So it wasn't like if they traded him that he would have gotten this huge deal elsewhere. They weren't handing out big money deals during COVID for wide receivers.
No, you're right. That's what I mean. There is a chance that, again, if he stays healthy and continues to be as productive as he has been, that, you know, this will play out well for him financially.
And I continue to be here hoping that this is truly the crossroads point where we will reference for years to come, kind of like in 15 where the Cubs and the Cardinals sort of intersected, where it was always the Cardinals, always the Cardinals, always the Cardinals. And then the Cubs beat them in the postseason that year. And at the very least, they've always been as good as the Cardinals here in these years. Hopefully it's that way with the Packers, with all the dysfunction going on with Rodgers. And we never got to this. We had breaking news, and I forgot. What was it? What was the breaking news on Friday that we weren't able to get to the Rodgers? Oh, no, it was after the Cubs game ended. We went into Cubs postgame mode.
By the way, they have until July 15th to sign Allen Robinson to a long-term deal. That won't happen. Yeah. That's not going
to
happen.
No, they have no
cash. They don't have any cash.
Yeah. So the Aaron Rodgers thing that happened over the weekend is that Mark Murphy, their team president, he's basically the highest ranking official the Packers have since they don't have an owner. What they have, the Summit Lambeau field event on Thursday. And he did an interview and he called Rodgers a complicated fellow.
He used Ted Thompson as kind of as a scapegoat because he referenced Ted Thompson initially. Used to call Aaron Rodgers and other players, I believe, he's a complicated
Here,
fella.
Take a listen to it.
Oh, good.
I'm often reminded, though, Ted Thompson, who most of you know, just a great general manager, passed away this past year.
Earlier this year, often talked about Aaron, that he's a and it wasn't just Aaron, a lot of different players, he would say, he's a complicated fella. So I'll just say that.
So, I mean, this is how stupid they are, okay? Like, they have been bailed out, that city, that state, and that organization by two Hall of Fame quarterbacks. And they'd be nothing. They'd be nothing without Favre, without Rodgers. Nothing. It's not that the Packers don't have a way. It's a Spart Star. It's Favre, and now it's Rodgers. And they have this guy, Mark Murphy, up there, who just last week, in his stupid-ass newsletter that he writes, I should be celebrating all this instead of getting angry. I don't know why I'm getting angry.
Yeah, I don't know. Are you a closet Packer fan?
I am. No, because I'm pro-Rodgers on this, and I'm here for him to go to a different team because I've been tormented. And I want this to end badly. I want this to end painfully for them up north. And he just wrote in his newsletter, he said, and he was asked the question about, hey, Mark Murphy, what do you think the new name for the Washington football team should be? And he went on into an answer about Aaron Rodgers. And he said, what I would like for this to happen is not to be handled publicly. He gave his opinion. And then he says he hopes not to handle this publicly. And here he is at Lambeau Field with the echo. Listen to the echo in the background from Mark Murphy. This is the essence of addressing.
Yeah, he was having a microphone problem.
Today.
I'm often reminded, though.
What is that?
And Ted Thompson, who most of you know, just a great general manager, passed away this past year.
Earlier this year, often talked about Aaron, that he's a and it wasn't just Aaron, a lot of different
Aaron,
players.
No, but it is
say,
Aaron, you know.
He's a complicated fella.
Today.
I'm told that they were trying to fix his microphone as he was speaking because it was a microphone
issue.
Well,
I mean, it's still this big public event or whatever it is. Yeah. The stupid president just wrote.
They got big public events in Green Bay?
Yeah, I mean, they can
just like a little
relative.
They got
relative.
Nothing else. They all show right. up to shovel snow. They're showing up to hear him yeah. speak.
And they still beat our ass every year.
They do because of the quarterbacks. The quarterbacks bailed them out.
Look, this is such a simple concept. Like, we all know Aaron is a complicated guy. Everybody
the
knows
the entire
it.
World does. He's
everybody
divorced his parents.
It. Yes, everybody knows he's a complicated guy.
He divorced his brother. He's divorced everybody in his life.
So there's just, and you now have a scenario where you are at odds with him because of communication. And you continue to dip your toe in the poor communication pond. It just doesn't make any sense.
Hey, Mark Murphy, stay strong. By the way, what should be the name of the new of the Washington football team? You know what? I appreciate your compliment. We think the Aaron Rodgers situation has gone too public. We'd like to keep this a little bit close to the vest, and we're trying to make, you know, ends meet here for both sides. 1 week later, with the echoey mic.
By the way,
the president is telling a story about how he's a complicated fellow. That is not how you patch up a relationship.
Well, you don't. I mean, the complicated fella gets even more bothered by being referenced as a complicated fella.
Of course.
Like, if you're a normal fella and somebody calls you a complicated fella, you probably handle it. You're not pleased, but you handle it differently. The complicated fella, who is being called a complicated fella in public, probably responds even more harshly than the average person. Like, again, it's... You don't need to enunciate the obvious because you know you're just going to piss off the person that you're trying to mend fences with.
And I should be celebrating.
You should.
And I am a pro Rodgers on this because, A, he's great, and, B, because I want him to get traded. I want him to get his way he's out of the division.
Yeah, I think what we've learned is they feel empowered by the fan base that is supporting them and not the quarterback, and it's really becoming more and more likely that while Rodgers may not play for the Green Bay Packers this year, it's not going to be because they trade him. It's much more likely they'll trade him next year
right.
when it's not as restrictive to their salary.
And that's
taxes.
What I want to ask you guys in the wake of this. I wanted to ask you this on Friday. How does this end? So the end could be in a year, or the end could happen before training camp. And what happens on opening day? All right, so there are two different questions. They still could be the same result. But I think there are a lot of directions this thing can go. I'm loving it. I'm enjoying it. I hope this divorce is closer and closer to happening and going official. Even if he holds out for the year, I don't care. I just don't want him to play for the Packers ever again. 312-332-3776.
This is Waddle and Sylvie. Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN_Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
Talking some Bears, their mini camp officially begins tomorrow. Gonna try to ask Matt Nagy that question again about promises.
Are you loaded up for tomorrow?
No, I got to figure out a follow-up question, too. Because, you know, if they do call on me, which they have promised they will call on me this mini camp in the virtual press conference with my hand up in the Zoom, the smart guys like Weider and others say in there, because there are no follow-ups allowed, they say in their question to Matt, hey, Matt, I've got two questions. I got this, and then I've got a follow-up, and then they keep your mic up for a follow-up. And I'm just going to say, and I got to figure out what my follow-up question should be.
Just trying to figure out ways for him to beat the system. I'm thinking maybe when you ask the first one, which is your important question, in the follow-up, he addresses the follow-up first and then moves on to the next
interview. No, I don't ask the follow-up question. All I'm telling them is that I have a follow-up loaded, so okay. Keep my microphone on, that when he's done answering this one, I've got a second one. I'm not going to go like the two-question thing okay. where he could dance around stuff. Okay. I want to know straight out, Matt. I want to know. Has anyone in the Bears organization promised Andy Dalton that he would be the starter on opening night?
And then the second follow-up is if you say yes, then can you break that promise? Are you willing to break your promise?
The follow-up is why, if he does. Yeah. Why would you do that?
Yeah, that's not the way I would run my
organization. So that's tomorrow.
I'm going to promise Khalil Mack that he'll start opening game of the season.
Yeah, it's like he was ranked. What was it, Abdallah?
First.
Number one for edge rushers. Number one, huh?
Pro Football Focus, I believe. Again, I use Pro Football Focus as one of my football tools in my football toolbox.
Now, he does pressure the quarterback. He wins the one-on-one battles, right? He's often double and triple teamed. To me, it's a big year for him. Like, this is not just about the offense. And then I'll ask you about the Rodgers stuff. But there's a lot of people on defense that we're not sure of. Like, we don't even know if Akeem Hicks is going to be on the team. You know, Fuller was a foundational piece a year ago. He's gone now.
Mm-hmm.
This is a big year in the way I think about Khalil Mack. I need him to put up some numbers.
I'm with you. Yes. I mean, look, he still has an enormous impact, even when his sack numbers were as low as they've been in the last 5 or 6 years. I think, what do you have, 8.5?
Yeah.
He's still a very impactful player, but you want someone that is wreaking havoc.
Yes.
Not just creating pressure, but also getting to the quarterback, because a lot of times when he does get to the quarterback, he gets there so violently, he separates the quarterback from the football.
Right. Remember when he flipped the offensive lineman from Tampa?
Yeah.
Like, he's super strong, and he's great.
He did that to a Lions offensive lineman before as well.
And I love him, but I need more production.
You want him to be Aaron Donald-like.
I want him to be like Khalil Mack was in his first year here.
Yeah.
You know, didn't we only get one really truly great year from Mack?
Well, statistically,
like, he's been banged up. He's been banged up a lot, too.
Yes.
And I need more from Khalil Mack.
I think they ought to also look into his usage rate as well. I mean, it's, you're paying him a ton of money. I get it. But when a guy gets 30, maybe give him a little bit more, you know, breather time to maximize what you're getting from him when you put him back out there.
Yeah, not a bad idea. And something, again, more than just who's going to start at quarterback. All right, how does two things. This is a two-part question. Don't Matt Nagy me here. Just answer the questions.
Well, let me tell you, Mark.
All right, so how does the Aaron Rodgers Green Bay Packers situation, quote, end? And who starts for them on opening day? They could be the same answer, or they could be totally different answers, because a lot of people think, like, hey, Rodgers may be sitting out all year, and while they have a starter on opening day, that's different. It ends next draft when they trade him.
I feel most strongly that they won't trade him this year. Okay, so I'm going to walk through the process of answering your question. I don't believe they will trade him this year. So I believe this will end with them trading Aaron Rodgers prior to the 2022 season, when it is something that isn't as disruptive to their salary cap. I'm going to go with the following, that they find a way to make him the highest paid player and guarantee him that he will also be traded the following year. They'll find common ground to the point where they say, look, we can't trade you this year, but we will promise you that we will trade you next year. And, oh, by the way, we'll make you the highest paid player in all of the National Football League for the 2021 season.
So, wait, you're saying that Aaron Rodgers will start for the Green Bay Packers on opening day?
Yes.
Because of an agreement?
Yes.
And then
trade him in 2022.
Trade him in 2022.
That, I mean, look, and it ends that way. We're all guessing.
Yeah, no,
we're all guessing. And my guess is, and I know there are people up in Green Bay that say they don't think he'll play again, I feel most strongly from, you know, however, 3.5 hours away, that they won't trade him this year. So then it becomes, will he play for them or will he sit out this year? I don't think, I mean, he's 37. That means you're missing another year. You don't know when you're in the last. I mean, I know Brady's 40, whatever, but that's kind of an anomaly. I think he still wants to play. And if they can, you know, Goody needs to go to him and apologize and hand him a check that makes him the highest paid player and a guarantee that says, we'll deal you next year when it's better for us.
My prediction is it will. Yes, they're going to stand pat until he actually holds out in training camp. But then once it gets ugly in training camp, that they eventually cave and understand that their time to sell him will never be higher than now. They don't want to go into the season and have this hanging over their heads. They don't want him to maybe not have any trade value after sitting out for a full year. I believe he's dug in. And I think eventually, in the first couple of weeks of training camp, he will get dealt to a team like Denver, who will keep calling and will offer a ton of stuff to get him this year. And he knows, as an MVP, that he wants to play this year as he's coming off one of his great seasons. So I believe it ends all before the opening day. What do you guys think? How does this end, and who starts on opening day for them?
Aaron Rodgers will start for the Packers on opening day, and if he does ever get moved, it'll be after this season. Okay. I don't think something happens before him, because I think if something was supposed to happen, it would have happened by now.
You think he won't hold out, or that he just shows up then?
Yeah, he'll play for the Packers.
I think he may hold out initially, but I don't think I think the Packers are emboldened by their fan base that are telling them collectively, you're right and Aaron's wrong.
Right, but even, like, my point has always been, even if you are right, what's the point of holding firm? You know what I mean?
Well, like, they're doing what they feel is the best thing for their organization.
But the best business may be capitalizing and trading him for the most that he'll ever be worth.
Well, you may be able to trade him for something comparable next year.
I don't know how that helps anybody, though.
It helps their salary cap.
If he sits out, then what are you going to do? I mean, how
he doesn't get paid.
Right, but how does that help without Aaron Rodgers? How are you being helped?
Well, you're not going to be as good a football team.
Right.
And if you trade him, you're still not going to be as good a football team.
Of course, but you'll get draft picks then.
But you could trade him in 2022.
You think? Abdallah, what do you think?
I want the most chaos possible. He's gone. Blake Bortles starts game one.
That would be great. Wouldn't it be great if Blake Bortles is starting for the Packers?
Jordan, that's your hope or your prediction?
I mean, I think he's gone. I don't think
Blake Bortles beats him out he beats out Love, and Rodgers is gone. That would be the best Bears fan scenario.
I go back to what was tweeted. I think Albert Breer tweeted it. No, it wasn't Albert Breer. It was someone else. Tweeted it last week that this is exactly what happened with Favre before he was
Peter
traded.
King.
No, it wasn't Peter King. It was someone else. It was
Adam Schefter?
No, it was another baseball. It was football.
Bucky
but
Brooks.
At that time, too,
John Heyman?
I believe the Packers wanted to move on from Favre. I don't believe they want to move on from Rodgers.
They realize
Rodgers gives them the best chance to win a Super Bowl.
They drafted Jordan Love that high for a reason.
Yeah, I agree. SoCo Joe's on the phone.
They don't want to move on from him.
SoCo Joe, you're on ESPN 1000. What you drinking right now, SoCo? And beer? SoCo Joe.
Joe fell asleep.
Again, this is how we met Joe, wasn't it? Wasn't he
Joe!
Smoking a cigarette.
Joe, wake up. Come on, Joe.
Put the bong down.
It's a long drag right now. Come on. SoCo Joe.
Do we need to do a well-being check on him?
That would be disastrous.
Of course it would.
Hello.
I heard something.
What are you doing?
What happened?
You tell me what
happened.
I don't
know what happened.
Did you have us on mute? What'd you do?
I think.
No, I don't know what happened. I have bad luck sometimes when I call you guys.
Are you drunk?
No, I'm getting there, though.
Yeah, are you sitting in
the
sun?
Yeah, I'm getting
again?
Ready for... I'm going to have both ball games on tonight, switching back and forth.
Yeah.
So I'm loving this, man. Both teams in first place.
So you got SoCo beer and the cigarettes out, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's an afternoon.
I already got my son. Now I've moved over to the shade and, you know.
Very good. And you're like, you got to call our guys Waddle and Sylvie right now as I'm getting... a little bit buzzed.
Well, I'm always doing that. That happens before I come out here. So,
so what do you got?
I have a routine. That happens first, and then I come out here.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Hey, SoCo Joe, make sure you stay hydrated, because it's getting hotter as the days go on. And you know how alcohol kind of zaps you of your hydration.
Oh, yeah. Well, I have my ice water in the refrigerator.
Okay, good.
I make sure I take good gulps of that.
Okay,
you know?
we're just
keeping me look good, you know, pretty and everything for my skin. You know, the water's good for that.
After smoking cigarettes, drinking beer in SoCo, and sitting in the sun, that skin's got to look great.
I do all look this for me. Medicinal purposes only. It's all for my health, boys.
That's amazing. All right, what's on your mind about this?
Well, Aaron Rodgers should just play football. I still haven't heard exactly what he's ticked off about, you know. But my prediction is, first of all, he's not a fool. I mean, what other team is he going to go to that was 13-3 last year and might have a realistic shot at winning the Super Bowl, you know what I mean? So I think he will start. Cooler heads will prevail. And you won't get your wish, Sylvie. And by the way, let's not be afraid of those guys. We got to learn how to beat them with their best.
I'd rather play them without Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, me too. I'd rather. I want to win.
Aaron Rodgers is a. We get to see him twice a year, and we need to beat him. for goodness sake.
I wish, like that would be awesome, but if you're giving me the choice, do you want to face the Packers with Aaron Rodgers this year?
Without
Aaron Rodgers this year? I'm going without.
I want to see him. You know what? I want to see him with him.
I don't.
It sounds tough.
And I do think the guy is a great quarterback.
Yeah.
And I got to see Brett Favre's whole career here. He beat our butts the whole time. And don't forget, the Packers are a good organization. Those guys haven't won all these games by themselves.
Yeah,
the Packers
know how to evaluate
talent.
No,
they do.
Quarterbacks have. They've been bailed out by the quarterbacks.
Oh, come on.
Of course, they'd be nothing without those guys.
They've had good teams.
Because it's easier to do it when you solve the quarterback.
Look where Tom Brady went last year. You think he's a fool? He saw that Tampa was ready, baby. Yeah, he didn't do that all by himself last year.
It was a good marriage.
All right.
No, he didn't do that all by himself. No.
All right. Have a great show.
Be careful out there.
All right.
All right, buddy. Drink your water.
I Spacebarred. My guy Spacebarred, too, on Twitch. Twitch.tv/ESPN1000.com. Did I give that right? Twitch.tv/ESPN1000 Chicago.
Yeah, that's right.
No.com in there. It's twitch.tv/ESPN1000 Chicago. He's like, you gotta, in order to be the best, you gotta beat the best. Yes. And I'm like, hell no.
That's a good, you know, kind of whatever rallying cry in movies. In the movies, that's cool. In real life, you know, if it's the difference between winning a title and not winning a title, I hope that, you know, he's on the sideline with a case of the flu.
Yep. The good, the bad, the dirty is coming up next.
Waddle and Sylvie.
Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
The good.
It's gone! Oh, my God!
The bad. The dirty.
I'm talking about nasty.
Wow. So many stories are running through my head right now.
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN Chicago.
Right, the good, the bad, the dirty, our weekend recap of sports and anything else we came in contact with. It's brought to you by our great partners, Advance Industrial, working safe since 1964. Thank you to them, too. I'm wearing the Vans Industrial hat for this segment right now. You can see it on Twitch. Shout out to Mike Van Camp, who sent us some gear today.
Nice. You should put the shirt on as well.
Yeah, it's in the office. Yeah. I got the hat on for this.
All right.
We'll go around the room with Black and Abdallah as well. One thing good, one thing bad, one thing dirty. What's your good, Waddle?
My good is the performance of Chris Paul last night as the Suns advanced to the Western Conference Finals. Chris Paul, 37 points without a three-point attempt. He was 14 of 19 from the field, 9 of 9 from the line. He also had 7 assists, but Booker was fantastic as well. I think he had 34. They got rid of Denver in 4 games, but Chris Paul has just been brilliant, and he was most brilliant last night.
Yeah, absolutely. A lot of people were worried that he wasn't even going to look the same in these playoffs because of the shoulder. And, like, who knew what could have happened in that first round if the Lakers had AD. And now he's been able to get right, and he had a great
performance.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
My good is the Cubs whipping up on the Cardinals. You take a sweep at sunny Wrigley Field with 35,000 people. Full go. There's cup snakes going. The entire atmosphere for this Cubs fan, and as Waddle mentioned earlier, to enjoy it at a Fox Saturday night game, and then to see the ESPN Sunday night game on the heels of the dramatic win coming back from a 5-1 deficit on Friday. If you're a Cubs fan, how do you not love and think that it is not only good but great to sweep the Cardinals at Wrigley Field? Boys?
My good. I gave it out on Friday. Bilal Muhammad beats Damian Maia to win that fight. It wasn't for a belt or anything. He was ranked 12th in UFC in the welterweight division. He beat Maia, who's 9th, so he'll probably move up in those rankings, and then he'll get a better fight. But shout out to Chicago's very own Bilal Muhammad. Remember the name? He won his fight.
And you won money.
You gave it out on Friday, and I followed your lead on a decision, not only to win, but by decision.
Yeah, he's not a knockout guy. So, I mean, he rarely doesn't go the distance with fighters. This is only 3 rounds. I kind of knew it was going to go the distance as well. So
great call by you.
Yeah, good on him. Chicago guy.
What about you, Black?
Guys, I'm going to give it to Novak Djokovic, winning his 19th Grand Slam over, I believe you say it, Tsitsipas. It was a fantastic match. He was down by two sets to start, came back. It was like over 4 hours. I sat there and watched the entire thing. I loved it. Shout out to Djokovic.
It's fantastic. It was great theater.
What's your bad?
My bad was the NBA official that decided that the right thing to do was to kick Jokic out of last night's game. I didn't think it was worthy of him being.
How do you come to that conclusion?
I don't know. I don't know.
Gosh, I mean, I'm not saying it's right. I'm not endorsing what the Joker did.
You give him the hardest penalty without kicking him out. What is they call it?
Flagrant one.
Flagrant one. There you go. And he doesn't get kicked out of the game.
I'm in total agreement with you. My bad is Matt Vasgersian doing his Harry Carey again yesterday. Listen, okay? I worked with Harry Carey at one time. I grew up listening to Harry Carey. These impersonations from these side people need to stop. Includes you, Ryan Dempster. I love you, but your Harry Carey sucks too. All this is now is you guys imitating Will Ferrell imitating Harry Carey. All the Harry Carey impersonations stink. There's like one or two guys who are good. Everyone should stop doing it. It's not funny. It's not clever. And most of the people listening now may not even know what he sounded like. But I do. I knew him. And you sound nothing like Harry Carey, so stop impersonating him. Dala.
My bad goes to the Westminster Dog Show for picking a Pekingese. To win. What is that? A little fur ball.
I think it's a Pekingese.
Pekingese. Whatever. It's barely a dog.
Why is that a bad thing?
Because I don't like that dog. I like all dogs, but that one's not one of my favorites.
Like you like all dogs.
I do, but that one, it just looks like...
No dogs left behind, my man. Come on.
It looks like someone took a rat and put long hair on it. And that thing won. That's not a dog. What's that thing going to do?
So it won Wasabi. Best in show?
Best in show.
Wasabi was best in show. Wasabi was best thinking in about show. The name of the dog, good,
Wasabi?
But instead I went with Djokovic, but I was thinking about honoring Wasabi as my good,
that's
too.
That's my bad. Give me a dog.
It's a big
Pekingese.
Dog?
It is a dog. You know, the Pekingese has won 4 times best in show.
Good for that. Good for that. It's probably dog just because it takes a while.
What do you not like? The size? Is that why? The hair?
Lot of hair.
Too small? Foo-foo-y?
It looks like a... No, it just looks like
a
mop.
Dog too small?
It looks like a mop. This dog. This isn't a dog. This is barely a dog.
What would you prefer? What breed there. Would you prefer when?
German Shepherd.
No. My dog, Penny.
It wasn't entered. Your dog was not entered.
She was. She was watching at home. We put it on the second TV.
Does your dog react to other dogs on TV?
So what's weird is the only thing that my dog reacts to is occasionally, like if an episode of Lost comes on or an episode of something with nature sounds in the background. So like birds or whatever, like nothing, no dog barking on TV gets her, none of that kind of stuff.
The Calm commercials late at night, does she enjoy those too?
No, none of that stuff.
Trickling water?
It's like anything where there's like weird nature sounds going on in the background. Yeah.
We mentioned Cosmo once today. I mentioned him again. He used to react to anything animal-wise. Yeah. Would get up, would perk up, would follow whatever what was going on.
Barker?
With people. Oh, yeah. Everything. Yeah. What do you got, Black? What's your bad?
Well, besides Abdallah there hitting on a type Pekingese. Of dog on the Pekingese, Wasabi. What a champ. My bad. How about this? I'll take the bad. Me. Chris Black, bad.
What?
Because of my concern over the Milwaukee Bucks hosting 2 games over the weekend, and guess what? The Bucks showed up, and they took down the Nets. I know that Kyrie got hurt yesterday, but still, they win 2 games. Now the series is tied at 2. My bad for being concerned over Milwaukee and their big 3. I will take the bad. Shout out to the Bucks. The series is tied.
It was like you weren't in a small group either. No. I mean, a lot of people were worried.
I was concerned.
Well, you were wrong because the Nets lost 2 elite players.
Doesn't matter how it happens.
I get
friends
it,
to the north, I'm acknowledging them and Travis Wacker and everyone who supports Bucks Nation. Was it Bucks in 6 is their chant, I believe?
Yeah. By the way, did you guys, maybe it's one of your dirties. Go ahead. I don't want to take it.
No, my dirty is DeGrom. DeGrom, 6 innings, 1 hit, 0 walks, 0 runs, 10 strikeouts. Friday night, he lowered his ERA to .56. He also drove in 2 runs.
Yeah.
Like, he's just dirty.
I'll give you a bonus one because I want to tell you about this if you didn't see it, and Abdallah thinks he knows. First of all, one of my dirties is to Matt Vasgersian for calling it Bartman Land last night. Not only did he do a bad Harry Carey, there was a ball. Jock Peterson was trying to play it, hopped into the stands, and he calls it Bartman Land. That's dirty, Matt Vasgersian. My dirty, did you see the fight? I think Big Cat was tweeting it out. It was Suns and Four guys. Yes. Did you see this?
Yeah.
There were two Denver fans who were like challenging this Suns fan in Denver, and like there were a couple punches that were thrown. It was innocent. And then the Denver fan had a smile on his face as he put his phone in his back pocket. Like, then he was ready to go.
And then he got his ass kicked.
And he threw the first punch, and the Suns fan kicked his ass and then kicked his friend's ass while he was holding the first friend who got his ass kicked. He was beating the second
guy. You don't know who you're running into in these fights. Just,
but to make it even dirtier, at the end he proclaimed Suns and Four as he beat their ass, and it was fantastic. You know me, I love the video fights. I don't want to be near them. I don't want to be in them. I like to just sort of be a voyeur. Yeah, to the fights. Yeah. I like them. Wrap us up, boys.
We're supposed to be from the weekend, but I just retweeted the Messi goal that just happened. Argentina's going against Chile right now in the Copa America. It's a summer of soccer, guys. I don't know if you know this. We got the Euros and the Copa America going on and World Cup qualifying. So the Messi goal that I just retweeted is absolutely filthy good. Free kick from just outside the box. Amazing goal.
I'll tag on to what you were saying, Sylvie, with the Suns and Four. And Waddle, you're good with the Suns overall and the performance to sweep. They might be the best story in the NBA. Chris Paul leading this team, and they may have a chance to get to the finals. Best story in the NBA. And not only is it a great story, they're playing hella good defense. And I think people just assume young players are not going to really play defense. They're going to shoot threes, score the basketball. This team's fantastic. So my dirty is the fact that the Phoenix Suns, not really talked about from coast to coast, and they're such a great story to get into the conference finals.
They were 50-1 at the start of the year to win it all, I think,
probably,
weren't they?
I mean,
huge value for those that were willing to put some money on the
tickets. Even coming into the playoffs, everyone assumed the Lakers would win. They would be healthy, and
that's been the ticket you'd want to have.
They've been the best team in the playoffs at this point.
You know, I think we're 4-for-4. All four of us were on the bandwagon that we wanted Monty Williams a year ago when they decided, hey, let's bring Jim Boylan back. We're like, Monty Williams is available. Go get Monty Williams.
Didn't Chris Paul have issues with him?
Yeah, they didn't get along in New Orleans, but now they do. Yeah, and you guys remember all the years with LeBron playing in Cleveland and bouncing around. He always had to have James Jones at the end of the bench.
Yes.
He's their GM.
Yeah. Wow.
The Suns' GM.
Yeah.
And he's done a great job.
He has. All right, 312-332-3776. If you want to react to anything you heard, we'll talk some more baseball coming up. Want to get to this story that Waddle had earlier in the show that we never got to with Barry Bonds. What the hell's happened to Barry Bonds? What's happened to Barry Bonds? We'll get to that coming up next.
What is your name, please?
Waddle and Sylvie.
Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN_Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
This was pretty incredible because I watched the video after you alerted me of the story earlier in the day. This was going on in the IDOT bullpen before the show. I was watching this video that you told me about with Barry Bonds. And remember, driving responsibly in construction and work zones really is a matter of life or death. Learn more online or through social media. LifeOrDeathIllinois.com.
Barry actually had a dog in the 145th Westminster Dog Show. How about that? Miniature Schnauzer participated in the Terrier group during the event.
I tweeted the video to Cap earlier today, and I said, was this a lot like your interview with Barry Bonds back in the early 2000s? Because he was one of the most disagreeable guys ever.
Yeah.
With teammates.
Salty, nasty.
Right. With everybody.
Yeah.
Teammates, with fans, with the media. This wasn't just a guy who didn't like interviews.
Just wasn't pleasant.
He didn't like you. He was not a pleasant man.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden I see him at
all smiles.
He's all smiles talking
about
it.
You guys want to take a listen to it?
Yeah, this is fantastic. Just hearing him talk about a schnauzer with a smile on my face, I'm like, who is this guy?
You know him as a Major League Baseball star, but today, Barry Bonds is a proud dog owner. Your first time at Westminster, your dog is about to go and show. First of all, what got you into dogs and dog shows?
About 25 years, my sister got a miniature schnauzer, and then I got one with her, and ever since then, she does all the work. I'm not going to sit there and say I do. I don't do much. My sister does it all. I support her to death. She's my best friend in the whole wide world. And this is just amazing just to be here, to see it. It's beautiful. I've watched it on TV many of years. But to actually be here is amazing. And to actually have a dog here makes it even more gratifying.
It's incredibly special. You're going to love this experience. Okay, when Rocky's out there today, are you going to be nervous? Like when you competed at all or not in the least?
No, the reward is getting here. You know, he qualified and that's the reward. It's like I sit there and say when I play baseball, it's just getting there. And I've been to a lot of playoffs and I've been to the World Series. I never won for 22 years and I kept trying. But the actual thing is just the work ethic, how you do, how you get there. And, you know, I'm just proud that he's here. I'm not expecting anything. I'm not looking at him. I'm not nervous. I'm just proud that he did a great job and he qualified to get here.
You're a good dog dad. You know that?
Now get away from me.
This guy talking about miniature schnauzers with his sister.
Yeah.
Like he didn't want to be at the All-Star game. He didn't want to be in the postseason. No. He didn't want to be at the way he was happy at the World Series. And now all of a sudden you bring him to the dog show.
He's got two of them too. Just getting here is worth it.
He's got two. Rocky and Apollo, his two miniature schnauzers. Just such a good time. You were belly laughing the whole time. That's what was going on.
Because if you knew the type of guy that Barry Bonds was,
he was universally, you know, like, acknowledged as not being a friendly dude.
Probably one of the worst guys to ever approach in any professional sport. And again, this isn't just a media thing. This is as a fan. Like if you would go to Barry Bonds, he would treat you poorly.
Not if you brought your dog to the ballpark.
Miniature schnauzers turn things around. Like even Jeff Kent used to get into fights, right?
Yes. He didn't like his own teammates. He likes puppies. Thank goodness it's not a Pekingese. It's a miniature schnauzer.
Like he snapped a cap at Wrigley, and like I think someone from the Giants came over and yelled at Barry Bonds, like the way
what
you're
was
treating
yelling
people.
A cap for
just like.
And then the
invading his space or like talking to him.
The Giants person yelled at Bonds and Cap screamed, "Take that!
Take that! Oh God!" That's my favorite new thing. Is Jonathan yelling the "Oh God" all the time? All right, in 2 minutes, we're talking about Chicago baseball, the best story in baseball. That in 2 minutes.